This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Roshan Gunnison and you're listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. There is no doubt that fintech is becoming ever more important in the consumer's life. Anything from e-wallets to fintech to insurtech, these are all becoming more prominent and have been lauded as a way to help financial literacy in the longer term, making financial products more accessible to everyone. Now, to explore this topic, I have in the studio with me Bikesh Lakmichan, founding partner of 1337 Ventures, or more commonly known as Leet Ventures, if you pronounce the 1337 out loud like that. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to have you.
Yes, your name took me aback a bit. I think you had to correct me before we started this. So, Bikesh, let's talk about let's start with financial literacy. It's become a big part of the government's agenda. And I think this weekend, you will be at the Putrajaya Lift
Festival. Yeah, we have a booth at the Lift Festival this weekend in Putrajaya. Hopefully, we get to meet a lot of people there.
Yes, and I think Lift stands for Literature in Financial Tech. Is that right?
Correct, and also Living in Future Times, which is what fintech's all about.
I mean, that's the beauty of acronyms. It can mean so many things. And we at BFM know that. We have many,
king of acronyms.
Many different acronyms. So, Leet Ventures, you're I think you're an accelerator, but you're also involved in equity crowdfunding.
So we're early stage investors. We help anyone with a great idea on starting their venture into becoming a startup. So we write their first check between 50 to 150,000 ringgit. We've been doing that close to 5 years right now, had several exits out there. And what we have right now is the new license for equity crowdfunding. So that's the ability for anyone to democratize finance. So if you're an SME and you want to raise funds, you don't have to go to a bank anymore. You can come to people like us and raise up to 5 million. And investors, you don't have to just go to the stock market these days. These are alternate ways you could put your money into investing to your favorite company.
So are you guys still early investors or more on the equity crowdfunding side now?
So it's a good balance between the two. And I think there are ways that both intersect these days. Typical brick and mortar companies now want to transform. So they are becoming early stage companies now with a whole new division on digital transformation.
So on that note, I'm guessing that fintech, how prominent are fintech firms in the equity crowdfunding world? I mean, equity crowdfunding in itself is fintech.
Well, we are a fintech ourselves in terms of people coming to us now to raise funds. You have a mixture of everything. I think what fintech has allowed people to have access to now is just better access. Now, tech has not been a component that's never existed in the finance world. If you talk about back then, fintech 1.0, I guess you could say is the telex machine to wire money across. Then you had ATM machines that just make access more convenient and banks didn't have to have so much infrastructure for branches. And then you had online banking, you could do banking everywhere. Now with mobile banking, is literally at your fingertips. So as we get closer to the dawn of technology, it's just going to be ingrained with whatever you do. I guess that's what fintech is. Everything has a financial component slipped in, and without you realizing, you're eating, breathing, and sleeping financial technology access everywhere.
So let's take it back a little bit. We're talking about financial literacy being one of the government's aims. How are you seeing that play out? Like, what's your assessment of the level of financial literacy out there?
I mean, if you just look at yourself, how much savings do you have in a bank? If you didn't have income tomorrow, how long could you last? I think we just look at it at a personal basis. It reflects what it is in society, not just the youth, but in general Malaysians. So there was a great survey done by Bank Negara last year, and it was quite shocking at the results. I'll just give you some basic stats. 1 in 5 Malaysian working adults didn't save for the last 6 months. 3 out of 10 Malaysians working adults need to borrow money to buy essential goods. 52% of Malaysians have trouble raising 1,000 ringgit as emergency funds. So that's quite scary. So I guess this is where technology can come in. It's very hard to change someone's behaviors. Beliefs and behaviors is the hardest to change. But can tech come in and aid it? So if I can't make you save overnight, but can I facilitate your savings through technology? So every time you spend, we roll up your changes, we give you short-term goals to put something in, we gamify the way you spend, and therefore we try and help you save at the side. So that's where tech comes in.
Yeah, when it comes to savings, there are a multitude of issues there. And one of them also is just the cost of living and income stagnation. And those are issues that are much too big for you and me in this room to solve.
Definitely.
But where we can talk about is, I think we've talked about this on the show before, where you can try and save. Awareness over spending is important. So when you talk about financial literacy, do you really think technology is going to help save the day here?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as I say, tech is an enabler in general for everything. It makes things faster. So if you wanted to have access to funding, you needed access to send money to a loved one, you could do it faster with tech. Increases your convenience. It's more personalized. I think in today's era of services, you want something tuned to what you need. So it's not one size fits all anymore. So technology allows that. Security, everyone's worried about having money in their banks. They put it under your pillow. Now you have money in your phones. Are you more concerned about that? But with things like biometric access, I think it's a bit more safer to have it on your phone than under your pillow for sure. Cost of transactions has gone down, so tech just reduces those things. So in overall, even accessibility. So I think this is where the man on the street, the underbanked, the unbanked, have access to new technology that they couldn't from brick and mortar. If you wanted to save and all you had was 50 ringgit, you could still create a savings plan. You could still get protection products at a low price of that. So that's what tech has done. It's democratized access to financing itself.
I mean, it's definitely made things more accessible, and to some people made it a bit more affordable. Mm. Because you cut a lot of the middle out of the way, you get to more efficiencies. But as to whether it helps the underbanked or the unbanked more, I think a Bain report a few weeks ago pointed out that the unbanked are still not being served as much as the underbanked are, because end of the day, the unbanked still, the needs that they have are much different, and tech is catering to a different segment.
Yeah, so I think what's going to happen, you're going to see a paper come out from Bank Negara end of the year about the digital banking license, and then there's a rise of not just what we call fintechs, but tech fins. So tech companies who are trying to become financial service providers itself. So if you look at an unbanked person, the likelihood of them having a phone line or a Facebook account is higher than maybe them having a bank account. Mm. So what happens with the likes of Google and Facebook and Microsoft now becoming financial service providers? So hence, access will be there through technology and access to the internet. So I guess that's where things are going to shift soon, coming year end with that license coming into play. I think the telcos are trying to bid for that license. Grab's trying to bid for that license along with other technology players. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they give you access to products that you never had financially.
So on that note, let's talk about the importance that fintech is going to play in the consumer's life going forward. Because fintech, they don't want to be startups forever. They want to grow up. They want to challenge the current infrastructure. And, you know, mentioning Grab as a possible competitor for that bid in terms of digital banking, that's a big deal. That's a ride hailer going into delivery, and then they have GrabPay, and now a digital bank. That's a big deal. What is your outlook on how important fintech will be to consumers?
I mean, let me play the devil's advocate, right? So, I mean, we're participating in this great event where it's organized by Bank Negara and Minister of Finance. Banking is always going to be necessary, but are banks necessary? So there are going to be different players that come in with different segments of the market to create solutions for them, like SMEs. What is the best services you could create for an SME? If you're less than 2 years old, you got great cash flow, but could you still walk into a bank and get a loan for that particular new branch you want to expand into? So that's where alternate financing comes in, right? So people like us, we could give access to these people saying, look, you're less than 2 years in, you got a great list of customers that love your coffee shop and you want to open the next branch. Why don't you let your customers become shareholders? Why not have the facility of giving them stake of your company equity and raise $500,000 just like that? So that's where we see consumers come in. And that consumer from a retail investor perspective can go, wow, that coffee shop that I love, I now get a stake in them rather than going on to something like a Bursa and not having affinities of some of these brands to put my money into. Now I can put it into companies that I know and love.
Now, we're going to continue this discussion in just a little bit. You're tuned in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. In studio with me today is Bikesh Lakshmichand, founding partner of Leet Ventures. And we're talking about the importance of fintech currently and going forward in our lives. Now, Bikesh, we were talking about the way to get funding or way to get access to capital and consumers getting basically into the capital markets by equity crowdfunding. Basically, you take a piece of that cafe that you love, mm-hmm. that you always go to. It's, in a way, a smaller version of the capital markets where you buy shares of a company that
and it's like access to them. Pre for Leap access itself, right?
Pre for Leap. That's I like that explanation of equity crowdfunding. But, you know, we're talking about funding in general and more access for everybody. The other conversations I've had throughout the year include with the e-wallet players like Boost. I think Kyril came on the show and he was talking about how through those transactions, they can start looking at, hopefully in the longer term, micro loans because they know the cash flow that the auntie selling Nasi Lemak on the street has.
Correct. So I guess with technology also has this whole rise of monetizing data. With the kind of points that you know from technology, you can craft better solutions. So again, going back to that first point, technology is an enabler. With technology, you can start creating this personalized solutions itself, not just for the end consumer, but also for the SME. Why go to a bank that just has certain products fixed for one size fits all? Now, just because of how I transact and how I run my particular business, I could curate solutions better for me. So not just in the finance world, but you also see this trickle down into the insurance world. And when it comes into the consumer side is, if you have two cars or if you just want one car and you're a safe driver, or you're paying the same insurance rate as someone who's a bit haphazard on the road itself. So again, all this is because of data points that these technology companies can get from you from usage of their solutions itself.
Yeah, it's taking know your customer to the next level.
The whole thing about startups and access to this disruption we talk about is actually flipping it over, not so much stakeholders, shareholders first, but consumers first, where, you know, that's supposed to be the basis of running any business, right? So that's what you're going to see happen in the future itself from financial players like banks and insurance companies, and even startups. Everyone bring the consumer back to the focus. And that's where things are going to shift.
Now, whatever we've talked about sounds very good. It sounds almost ideal, but nothing is ever perfect. And there are always limitations to anything. The banks have scale, they have capital, they have access. How does fintech fit in this scene? Because the common idea is that the banks will just buy out everyone.
I mean, they could do that, but I think it's not a zero-sum game. We have to stop thinking a zero-sum game, but it's a great combination of a win-win situation between a startup and a bank. Now, the banks have access to millions of customers, but a startup may have access to great innovation and great ideas, which the bank doesn't have the ability to roll out because they're busy with their business as usual. So if a startup could work with a bank eventually, then you see this match made in heaven. They actually have distribution access to a huge set of base of customers for a fraction of the costs with profit sharing to both parties itself. So that is what's happening soon, right? You see banks trying to figure out how to work with startups. You've seen all these innovation programs, accelerator programs that they work with to basically figure out how to bridge that too.
Now, we see a lot of digital financial players in the scene. And this is, the Bain Report cited that this is a market that has a lot of potential to grow, in, I think, in the next few years. But also that consolidation is bound to happen. Maybe not now, maybe not next year, but in the years to come, maybe within the 5 to 8 year mark. Are you concerned about consolidation, or do you think it's just business as usual?
It's business as usual. I think from an investor perspective, we're not concerned because that means it's an exit, which just means we get our returns back. That's great. For the consumer, this means you're going to get more players in, and therefore things are just going to get cheaper and more affordable and better for you, towards you, when people vie for that particular solution itself. And even though when they consolidate, that offerings will still be more accessible to everyone, which at the end of the day just improves efficiency.
So what are the current, let's not equate all fintechs to each other because they're all different. You've got lending, you've got insurance, you've got investment, crowdfunding, another one. Mm. But what would you say is currently the area that all fintechs need to work on? Whether it's, because we've talked a lot about the accessibility and all the good stuff. Where's the weak side? What should we be paying attention to?
I mean, at the end of the day, again, I'll say it just boils down to the consumer, the customer focus, reducing the friction. A couple of things that they make you do to use their services could seem a little out of the way. That's also because of regulations on the side. So it's just of them trying to fight for rights of the consumer to have better access, less friction, work with regulators to see a more seamless approach towards this itself. But at the end of the day, it's just benefits for the consumers, consumers always are the most important thing.
So speaking of regulators, let's talk about the Putrajaya Lift 2019, which is organized by, well, some of the regulators. I think BNM is involved.
Between BNM and MOF and some other financial industry players itself.
So what can we expect to see this weekend?
I think if this is going to be a lot of buzzwords you're hearing between the conversation of the two of us, this is where you're going to get enlightened with it all. There's a whole set of conferences and workshops just to educate you about the access to technology in terms of the finance world. There's a little bit of both, not just boring technology and finance all the time. There's also the great arts scene where arts meets technology. So I think it's something we want to see everyone come to. From us, we're having a booth there to talk to people, especially SMEs, to educate them about getting access to the financial tools we're talking about, if they wanted to raise funds, how they could do that. And also to the man off the street saying, look, if you have that spare 500 ringgit in your pocket and you don't know where to put it, let's talk about the new world of ECF, where you could put this into that favorite business that you saw down the road, that mom and pop shop that needs your money and access to.
So let's talk about ECF a little bit. Right now, I mean, it sounds great. You invest in this new mom and pop shop. You're putting in that 500 ringgit that you have that you're not sure where to invest, because a big part of personal finance and financial literacy is investing. And while the stock market may have taken a little bit of a bad rep in the 90s, ECF is coming up now. But it's not without its risks, right?
Of course. I mean, investment is all about risk, right?
So. And at the current juncture, how are the returns versus the risk at this point?
So I think it's still quite early to say that. We've seen a couple of exits already, but it was more of an outside investor coming in and buying out that portfolio, saying now everyone take their particular interests. That's a good and bad. Bad because, hey, if that was a great company, why did you cash out so soon? So it wasn't fair towards the retail investors is what my thought was. Great because that shows there is liquidity in the market. And I think what's going to happen next year is Securities Commission is talking about creating a secondary board in a way where you get liquidity options right now. So you could sell that particular shares off to somebody else. And if the value of the company grows, more people want to have access and they could buy a ticket in. So then your shares are going to be worth a little bit more. So you're going to see this become more viable next year for sure.
Well, that's very interesting. A secondary board for ECF-funded companies.
Correct. I mean, you could do it now. If I was tight for cash and needed to sell my particular shares, it's just a little bit more paperwork for people like us to do at the back of the scenes. But the idea was, how do we bring technology to the front and allow you to do it with your means itself rather than involving us in a back end?
Yeah, that's very interesting. You could create an index of companies funded by
ECF. It's not going to be as sexy as the KLC board right now, I can tell you that. It's just going to be a very boring bulletin board of just saying, I have this, would you like it? And that would facilitate the future of its growth. But because of that, I think more people are going to come in because they're going to see liquidity in the market itself.
Yeah, that is a very promising lead. Now, before we end, Vikesh, where do you see the biggest changes in fintech happening in the next year, in 2020? Do you have any insights there?
I think it's going to be more of access, democratizing access. I think everyone has alternatives now rather than just going to the usual suspects for anything. There's going to be more places you could go to grow your money, save your money, make money. So I think as retail investors or just the men off the street, look for alternatives. It's a great time for leveraging this kind of technology. And as the bigger players, which we call tech fins, come into the market, you could be rest assured some of these things will be safer. I'm not talking about the SoftBank companies. I'm talking about those guys who grew organically on their own and became giants like Apple. There's rumors Apple Pay would come into the country too. So we're going to see a lot of interesting changes in 2020 with the rise of cloud and technology and infrastructure with IR 4.0. A lot of buzzwords, but great things are going to happen next year in the world of tech itself. So stay tuned for that.
That is definitely sounds very interesting. It definitely sounds promising. And on that note, thank you for joining me today, Vikesh.
Thank you.
Now, before we end, just a reminder that before you invest in anything, take a look at anything, always be aware of the risks involved. Not all investments are meant for everybody. And I was speaking to Vikesh Lakshmichand, founding partner of Leet Ventures, spelled out 1337 Ventures. And you can catch him this weekend at the Putrajaya Lift 2019 Festival. Now, this was Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. If you've got any questions or suggestions for future episodes, please get in touch at ringgit@bfm.my. Now, up next is the 10 a.m. News Bulletin and then Enterprise. I'm Roshan Kanesan, signing off for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.